Uncle Monty winked at the children.
If you like, you may call me Uncle Monty as well, Mr. Poe.
Thank you. Uncle Monty, Mr. Poe said stiffly. Now, I have a question, if you don't mind. You mentioned that you circle the globe. Is there someone who will come and take care of the children while you are out collecting specimens?
We're old enough to stay by ourselves,
Violet said quickly. But inside she was not so sure.
Uncle Monty's line of work did sound interesting, but she wasn't sure if she was ready to stay alone with her siblings in a house full of snakes.
I wouldn't hear of it,
Uncle Monty said.
You three must come with me. In 10 days we leave for Peru, and I want you children right there in the jungle with me.
Really?
Klaus said. Behind his glasses, his eyes were shining with excitement. You'd really take us to Peru with you?
I will be glad to have your help,
Uncle Monty said, reaching over to take a bite of Sunny's piece of cake.
Gustav, my top assistant, left an unexpected letter of resignation for me just yesterday. There's a man named Stefano, whom I have hired to take his place, but he won't arrive for a week or so, so I'm way behind on preparations for the expedition. Somebody has to make sure all the snake traps are working, so I don't hurt any of our specimens. Somebody has to read up on the terrain of Peru, so we can navigate through the jungle without any trouble. And somebody has to slice an enormous length of rope into small workable pieces.
I'm interested in mechanics, Violet said, licking her fork, so I would be happy to learn about snake traps. I find guidebooks fascinating, Klaus said, wiping his mouth with a napkin, so I would love to read up on Peruvian terrain.
Yum, jump,
Sunny shrieked, taking a bite of carrot. She probably meant something along the lines of, I would be thrilled to bite an enormous length of rope into small workable pieces.
Wonderful! Uncle Monty cried. I'm glad you have such enthusiasm. It'll make it easier to do without Gustav. It was very strange, his leaving like that. I was unlucky to lose him.
Uncle Monty's face clouded over, a phrase which here means took on a slightly gloomy look, as Uncle Monty thought about his bad luck. Although if Uncle Monty had known what bad luck was soon to come, he wouldn't have wasted a moment thinking about Gustav. I wish, and I'm sure you wish as well, that we could go back in time and warn him, but we can't, and that is that. Uncle Monty seemed to think that was that as well, as he shook his head and smiled, clearing his brain of troubling thoughts.
Well, we'd better get started. No time like the present, I always say. Why don't you show Mr. Poe to his car, and then I'll show you to the reptile room.
The three Baudelaire children, who had been so anxious when they had walked through the snake-shaped hedges the first time, raced confidently through them now as they escorted Mr. Poe to his automobile.
Now, children...
Mr. Poe said, coughing into his handkerchief. I will be back here in about a week with your luggage, and to make sure everything is all right. I know that Dr. Montgomery might seem a bit intimidating to you, but I'm sure in time you will get used to...
He doesn't seem intimidating at all, Klaus interrupted. He seems very easy to get along with.
I can't wait to see the reptile room, Violet said excitedly.
Mika!
Sunny said, which probably meant, Goodbye, Mr. Poe. Thank you for driving us.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Poe said. Remember, it is just a short drive here from the city, so please contact me or anyone else at Mulctuary Money Management if you have any trouble. See you soon.
He gave the orphans an awkward little wave with his handkerchief, got into his small car, and drove back down the steep gravel driveway onto Lousy Lane. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny waved back, hoping that Mr. Poe would remember to roll up the car windows so the stench of horseradish would not be too unbearable.